Have, if you'll turn with me this morning to the book of Luke, Luke the physician, Luke chapter 9 and verse number 1. Luke 9:1. Luke was quite a prolific writer. I mean, here he is, the Gospel of Luke, and then the book of Acts. And he was not only that, but a physician. Luke the physician, the beloved physician. In chapter number 9 of the Gospel of Luke, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, 'Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have 2 coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them.'" And they departed. Father, bless your word now. Anoint the messenger and anoint the word. In thy name I pray. Amen. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here 2,000 years ago, he chose 12. And some say, well, that was reciprocal to the 12 tribes of Israel. Maybe, who knows? But he chose 12 apostles. The apostle is a very specific choice from God. The Greek word is apostello. It means one who is sent forth. Sent forth with a commission. And this is why the apostle Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Today we are representatives of a foreign power and a foreign government. Our citizenship is in heaven. This doesn't mean that I'm in here to overthrow the American government. I hope you understand that. But you are a citizen of heaven. And like they sang a moment ago, your name is written in the book of life. Therefore, my home is in glory. And one day I will go to my home. I will go back to where I came from. We came forth from God. We will return to Him. That's why He redeemed us. But here's an enigma, and this is the kind of enigma wrapped up in a riddle. Truth is, in the 9th chapter of the book of Luke, we have 12 disciples, and he gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. When we read the Bible, we find that things sometimes just don't make sense. For example, the demon-possessed man at Gadara, the Bible says that he came and he worshipped Christ. He fell down before him. But the Bible says he was in the mountains and in the tombs and he was wild and no man could tame him, and they had put him in fetters and he broke them. He had supernatural demonic strength, and having that, therefore, he could not be controlled. No physical human means will be able to control one possessed of demons. They have superhuman strength. No question about that. But he came and he fell down and he worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a demon-possessed man that is worshiping the Son of God. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus went directly to the demons and he dealt with them and cast them into the deep. And away they went. When they first went into a herd of swine went off the edge of the cliff and away they went. So here we find a man in amongst these 12. His name is Judas Iscariot. Ish is the Hebrew word for man. Ish'ah is the Hebrew word for a woman. So Iscariot literally means a man of Kiroth. And so Judas was the only one from Judea. All the rest of the disciples were from Galilee. Galilee is about 60 miles to the north of Jerusalem. It's up in an area called the Decapolis. In other words, it's not quite what the Pharisee would call a real religious Judaism, faith. It was a mixture. They had a lot of Greek influence, and this is the Decapolis. Deca is 10. Polis in Greek is city. So Decapolis means the 10 cities in that area. And this is where he started his ministry. Truth is, if he had started it in Jerusalem, they'd been stoning him to death the first day that he got up to preach. But he got up at Nazareth and opened up the Bible, went to Isaiah chapter number 61, and he read about the ministry that God had given him. And so he chooses 12. And of these 12 is one that he said himself is a devil. But let's look at this man for just a little while this morning. Because after all, he's a man, just like all the rest of us. Born the same way we are, exactly the way we are. He came into this world. He was not some kind of a supernatural demon. He was born like all the rest of us. And his name is Judas Iscariot. So therefore, he was one of the 12. Now you might ask yourself this question this morning. Why would God choose, why would the Lord Jesus choose one that he was a devil? Why would he choose him off the bat? I think the reason he chose him is because he's going to make a point and teach us some great spiritual truths about the way that God deals with men. Even though Judas Iscariot was a devil, God offered grace to him. The Lord Jesus Christ offered the cup of friendship to him. In plain words, he's teaching that the road you go down is the road that you choose to go down. And we all must choose that road that we go down. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So therefore, we make a conscious decision about which way we're going to go with our life. Your life is a precious gift indeed. You're living today, or you wouldn't be in this house. And you're here listening to what I have to say with physical ears. By the grace of God, before we leave, I hope you listen with spiritual ears. And let something reach down inside your soul. Amen. And hear God's eternal Word. Because the Word that you're listening to this morning can save your soul. And the Word that you're listening to today can deliver you from the power of darkness and the power of hell that seems to be settling down in this world. So he chose 12 of them. And notice the Bible says that he gave them power over unclean spirits. So he said, well, now Judas did not receive that power. Let me tell you something. The power is not of us. The power does not originate from us. It does not come from our innermost being. It is the gift of God. And when I'm up here preaching you this morning, I may be the sorriest low-down piece of garbage that ever walked the face of the earth. But if you'll believe the Word of God, it will save your soul. Amen. Amen. You're begotten by the Word. And that makes all the difference in the world. But there's something going on here. Judas Iscariot is one of the 12. Yet he goes out with power that has been given to him. Anointed with power from on high. If that doesn't raise some questions in your soul, I don't know what will. That's the kind of thing you've got to go home, get down on your knees, and begin to pray about and ask God to give you some wisdom when it comes to these spiritual truths that you're going to deal with in the Bible. Judas Iscariot saw the Syrophoenician woman come fall down before him, cried out to him and said, "Oh Lord, my daughter's vexed with the devil." He said, "It's not meet to take the children's food and meat and give it to dogs. Yea, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the table." Judas witnessed. He witnessed the grace of God. He witnessed someone that had a heart for people. Although he was the son of David, though he was the Messiah of Israel, though he was the king of Israel and all of that, my dear friends, she could not appeal to him in that. She appealed to his heart. And once you learn how to talk to the heart of God, you know how to get a hold of the Lord.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Once you learn how to talk to the heart of God, you know how to get a hold of God. But let me tell you something. Only your heart can talk to his heart. Heart to heart. Deep to deep. That's the way you talk to the Almighty. Because before this day ends, 1,000 things will fly through your mind. Satan will have a time with all the junk that goes through your mind. But the heart is different. You see, my dear friend, you may get mad at God. You may lose your faith in the Lord. You may rebel and run off somewhere. And I tell you, do that because your heart, because your mind may be confused. You may be hurt. You may have a lot of things. People may turn on you. And these things happen to people. Let me tell you something. If that heart really believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that heart will overrule that mind, and you will come back. Almighty God, amen. The heart is greater than the mind. It always has been, and it always will be. From the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So where's your heart today? You see the difference between Judas Iscariot and the Apostle Peter. Peter gave him his heart. He believed on Him. He trusted Him. He poured His soul into Him. And he was confused one day, and he feared, and fear gripped his heart. And it gripped him, and he denied the Lord 3 times. And then when he was reminded that God had prophesied to him that that was going to happen, he went out into the field, and he wept bitterly. Can you imagine standing on a hill somewhere and hear that apostle down there under a tree or on a rock somewhere crying out to God and weeping bitterly? You see, tears like that are real tears. A broken heart is a broken heart. But God knows how to heal the broken heart. He deals with us on a much higher level than we deal with each other, because He's God. There's none like Him, folks. He's the Creator. He's the Almighty. There's none like Him. He's above us. He's beyond us. And we worship Him because He's not one of us. He's the Almighty. Amen. And when you fall down before Him and worship Him, you become what you should be. You become what you ought to be. Something happens to you inside that should have. That is that you're acknowledging one that is infinitely, infinitely greater than you are. And you're saying to Him, I live because You live. My life is because You live. I have nothing without Thee. I'm poor. I'm a beggar. I live on a dunghill. Without Thee, I have nothing whatsoever. Has your heart said that to you lately? Has your heart spoken to you? So we have Judas Iscariot. He saw the Seraphim. He saw Lazarus raised from the dead. He watched him. He came out of that tomb. And you know, the old time preachers used to preach that when Lazarus came out of the tomb, that he was wrapped head to toe. And that's the way they buried them. They wrapped them head to toe. So how'd he walk out? He didn't walk. I believe the old time preachers, he floated out. I believe he did. I believe he stopped out there. And you know what he said to them? He said, loose him and let him go. Take off the grave clothes. Amen. And let him go. How many of you are dressed in grave clothes this morning? How many of you know the righteousness of God? How many of you know the only thing that can cover your sin is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God there's a Holy Ghost in this house today. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. He'll preach you to death when He shows up, and that's okay. I don't know of no better way to leave here than right where I'm standing. Oh, yeah. Some of you still got grave clothes on. You try to wash them, they still stink. You try to color them, they still stink. You try to change them, fold them, you know, do what you can. They're rags and they're death and they're hanging all over you. Loose him and let him free. Amen. That's what they said. Turn him loose. He's been raised from the dead. And we see what happened there. Judas was standing there watching all of that. You reckon he went through his mind? What do you think? Here comes a man that's been dead 4 days. Behold, he stinketh, his sister said. And here he comes out from the grave, raised from the dead, by the voice of the Son of God. Come forth! That's all it takes. The Bible said, all in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. Amen! He not only is the resurrection, He declares the resurrection. And when His word goes forth, no man can stay it. He's God and always has been, always will be. So He speaks. Judas saw that. He saw that. He saw the man that dwelt among the tombs. He heard those demons inside him said, what have you come to deal with? Have you come to torment us before our time? We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. You're Jesus, the Holy One. These demons had more sense than most of the people did in that day. Judas heard that. I could go on and on and on and on and on today about the privileged life that Judas had. The light that was shining all around him. And yet in the midst of all that light, he chose darkness. That's an enigma. I don't understand that. Do you understand it? With the light everywhere. The light said, Judas, you're this. The light said, Christ can do that for you. The light said to him, He's got power over everything. Yet Judas chose the darkness. And because he chose the darkness, he went down a path. There are 2 paths set before you this morning. 2 of them. One is light that leads to truth, that leads to the blessed Son of God. And the other one is darkness that leads to death, sorrow, and destruction. Which one are you on? Which one are you on? Well, preacher, I'm on the dark path and there's nothing I can... No, well, there's nothing you can do. I agree with you. You can't do a thing, but He's already done it. All He asks you to do is to acknowledge Him and raise your head and say, God, remember me, a sinner. You see, that man hanging by him on that cross had come to the end of his path. That's where the darkness led him. He was dying. He was receiving his just rewards. He said, "We're guilty, and so we're dying. This man's done nothing." But it was not too late. "Lord, have mercy. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Just a little word out of his heart. Crying out to God from a soul that needs the Lord. "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." And so it was when he drew his last breath on this earth. His body slumped and ceased to live. But boy, did his soul and spirit ever soar beyond the confines of planet earth. Jesus never let him into his heart. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20 says this. Revelation 3:20. It's a beautiful scripture. It can be seen a number of ways. Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This could be, and I've preached it before, where he's talking about wanting into the church. He's outside the church. He wants in. Amen. There's a lot of churches around here that if they just open the door and let him in, he'd come in. But not only the church, but the heart. Because that's the door of, that's the personal door. "I stand at the door and knock." He's knocking. Has he knocked on your door? Has he knocked on your heart's door? Has he spoken to you? Have you heard a voice that you know is not of this world? Have you heard somebody that speaks to you that loves you? Have you heard somebody that speaks to you that knows you? Have you ever heard that? If you have, you glorify God for it. I do. I spend my days anymore now just thanking God from the time I get up to the time I go to bed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I wear him out with it, but I don't believe he'll get tired. I thank him, brethren. I do. I thank God all day long. He's been good to me. So, in Revelation chapter number 3, he said, "I knock. I stand at the door and knock." He's the one who initiates the relationship. He comes to you. You see, my friend, if you have a relationship with the Lord, he came to you. And if your heart has opened up to him, then he entered your heart. All you have to do is let him in. You don't have to know how it's done. Just let him in. That's all. He'll take care of the rest of it. Just let him in. And he'll come in. He'll sup with you and abide with you. He'll sit down at the table with you. The Father and the Son will sit there. My goodness, my, what a meal. Can you imagine sitting down at a table and communing with God the Father and God the Son? Why, my goodness, it doesn't matter what else is out there. Nothing could be better than that. Can you do that now, preacher? You better believe you can. He would have fellowship with you. 1 John chapter number 1. Our fellowship, he said, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John the Apostle said that. 1 John 1, along about verse 2, 3, somewhere in there. Our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son. Simon Peter did, but Judas never did. And because of that, in Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 3, the progression, he's going down a road, and here's what happens. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 3, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot," Ishkiroth, "a man of Kiroth. A man surnamed Judas Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Then entered Satan into Judas Iscariot, Judas surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. For somehow or another, just memorize that. Let that mark your soul. Here's one of the 12. Here's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's one who witnessed all these miracles right at his side. No doubt at night when they would sit by the campfire. Many things, John said, many more things that Jesus in the presence of his disciples and on this earth. John told us, he says, they're not written in here because the world couldn't contain them. Maybe he said an awful lot of things around the fire at night. That's not recorded in the Bible, you know. Maybe so, and Judas heard all of it. But the Bible says the day came when Satan entered into him. My. I can't imagine that. I can imagine getting mad. I can imagine my faith being shaken. I can imagine rebelling against God. I can imagine, you know, getting sucked up in some kind of a religion away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan entered into Judas. He must have felt a victory that day. Satan must have thought to himself, I've got one of your own. I've taken one of your own. Now he's mine. How do you feel about that, Jesus? You see, there was a personal combat between Christ and Satan all the days of his life. when he took him into the wilderness to test him in the beginning, 40 days of testing, 40 days of accusations and trials and cursings, 40 days of it the Lord Jesus spent. And afterward, the Bible said he was anhungered. Turn these stones to bread. It's written. Turn this. Get to worship me. It's written. This is written. This is written. And the Lord Jesus said, it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. It's a privilege to worship him. It's a joy to worship him. It's a blessedness to worship him. There's something that just kind of moves in your soul when you lift him up, not us. Lift him up, not us. I swear I'm telling you the truth this morning. There's an awful lot of singing around here. All you sing about is mama's Bible, or you sing about an aunt or an uncle, or the old house or a garden or something. Lift up Christ! Lift him up! Glorify the Son of God. Amen. Sing about all of that stuff. I'm not saying it's necessarily bad, but you ever notice how people, when they sing that, how depressed they sound? How many's ever noticed that? It's the most depressing thing I've ever heard. I can only take about 10 minutes of that, and I got to get along somewhere and get away from it. Lift him up. Glorify him. Satan entered Judas. The Bible says in John chapter number 17, verse number 12, he's the son of perdition. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 3 that when the Antichrist shows up, he'll be the son of perdition. The word perdition is the Hebrew word abaddon, the Greek word apollyon. These both, apollyon especially refers to a pagan god, the god of destruction. In other words, what's the Bible telling us, preacher? It's telling us that the spirit of Judas Iscariot that turned from the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God, are you listening? How many of you know what I'm talking about when you have the Son of God right before you and you turn from him? Then where are you going to turn to? And so he's the son of perdition, man of sin. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And so we connect that in Revelation chapter number 9 with the apollyon, abaddon, perdition that comes up out of the bottomless pit. A lot of the old timers used to preach that the spirit that comes up and that infuses itself into a human being is literally the spirit of Judas Iscariot taken over by Satan. In other words, listen carefully now. It's the spirit of a man, but a man possessed of Satan. Yes. You get the nuance of that? Think about what I'm saying to you. Men are sinners. We're all sinners. Amen. Every one of us. But we're not all possessed of Satan. Okay? And not only that, but there are many that are possessed with demons that are not possessed with Satan. Satan is not a demon. Satan is an anointed cherub that covereth. So here's a man that was a human being at one time that literally, physically rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, shoved him aside, and Satan entered into him. That's the spirit that comes up in Revelation 9. That's the spirit that goes into the Antichrist. So the Bible tells us that Judas Iscariot, when he had done this terrible deed, he, I guess his conscience or whatever smote him. I don't know what smote him. I have no idea. But something smote him. And he went back to these people who paid him the 30 pieces of silver, took it, threw it at their feet and said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. Now, that's a wonderful message in itself. I don't have time to deal with that. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing. The innocent blood. The blood of Jesus Christ was not the blood of Adam. It was the blood of God. But there's a reason for it. Well, let's go on. He threw it away. He said, I am no good. Now he's continuing down that path of destruction. He's headed to suicide. Because you get to where you can't live anymore. Your life just absolutely curses you every day, every breath you take. In Japan, Mount Fuji is prominent. On the northwestern slope of Mount Fuji is a forest. It's called the suicide forest. Over 100 times a year, someone will go into that forest and they'll commit suicide. Listen to the testimony, and people are drawn from all over the world to this, you know, gawking and what have you. Listen to the testimony of a woman who went into that forest. She said, I cannot emphasize enough the absence of sound. My breath sounded like a roar. It is the quietest place on earth. In other words, no life, no birds, nothing, no sound. It is as quiet as it could possibly be. Listen carefully. If you go to this graveyard right over here behind us, it's within a stone's throw, and eliminate all the life around it, do you know what you'd hear? Silence. There's no voices coming from that graveyard. It is the place of death. They're drawn to death. Death begets death. So Judas Iscariot hung himself. And the Bible says that when God shook that earth, He shook it. He shook it. There was a great earthquake. When the Lord Jesus was hanging on the tree the sixth hour, He shook the earth. The graves were opened. The graves in Jerusalem were opened. And many saints of the Lord got up and they walked through the streets of Jerusalem. Judas Iscariot was hanging on the tree when God shook the earth. And when He shook it, He shook the foundations of that tree. And when He did, the dead man fell forward onto his face. Most people, when they die looking up. The body looking up. Not all, but most. Judas was looking down. And his bowels gushed out. So, there's no contradiction in the Scripture. It's just a matter of time. He dies on a cross by his, not a cross, but a tree, by his own hand. And his bowels gushed out. The bowels that showed no mercy. He went to the field of blood. The apostle called it a keldama. That word originated in Babylon, Chaldean origin. It's Aramaic in the Bible, a keldama. It literally means the field of blood. So the blood money that Judas Iscariot was paid to deny the Lord Jesus and sell Him, they didn't want that money. Most people in this world have an aversion to blood money. They don't want blood money. This is blood money. So they bought the potter's field with it. And that potter's field is where Judas hung himself. It was the place of death. The early Christians knew all about it. There are houses built around there that are called charnel houses. You know what a charnel house is? A charnel house is a place where they take dead bodies and they lay them in that charnel house until it's like a temporary morgue, until they can determine what they're going to do. They say to this very day that they'll take a dead body and put it at a keldama, the field of blood, and it will decay much faster than it would anywhere else because it's dead. It's death. It is forever the Lord giving a testimony and a witness that Judas Iscariot is death. Now, where do we live today? People are depressed. Are you depressed? You got to fight depression today. My granddaughter lives in Chicago. Says you can't even go out and eat. You can't go to a restaurant. You know, she's locked up. And we're fortunate here in Knoxville that we can go to restaurants and we can eat. Imagine though living in a place like that. People are depressed. They're depressed. Depression brings on insecurity. They're insecure. They're fearful. A lot of people are scared to death. They're fearful. And then it turns into anger and rage. If you know anything about the news, you saw this past Wednesday, 200,000, I don't know how many, 300 or 200, whatever, gathered around the Capitol of the United States of America, and they broke into that building. They broke into it. Now, it's a beautiful building, folks. The U.S. Capitol is one of the most beautiful buildings in the world. It's got what's called the Hall of Statues. Beautiful thing. And the video showed people walking in file through Statuary Hall. I've never seen that in my lifetime. They took things and they busted the windows out. One sat down and put his feet on the Speaker of the House's desk. Another one picked up the podium and carried it out and had a big smile on his face. What were they doing? I don't know what everybody was doing that was there, but I know what a lot of them were doing. They, in absolute anger and rage and hate toward the United States of America, they despise, and they were trying to make a statement. Something is going to give. 2020 might have been bad. 2021, you may see the man of sin rise up. Somebody will bring peace, and the peacemaker is the Antichrist. I don't know if in my lifetime, I have never seen a more fertile ground than this is right now for the rise of the Antichrist. He's a human being like Judas, but he's a spirit that rejects Jesus Christ, and Satan enters into him. And he's literally the devil incarnate in flesh. Are you ready to go?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm listening. Amen. Amen. Even so, come, come, come. Come, come, come. Hallelujah. Do you love our Lord Jesus?
Amen.
Peter denied him 3 times. So what did the Lord say to Peter after he resurrected from the dead? Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, lovest thou me? 3 times he said to Peter, each time that he denied him. I love him. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. I love him. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd use the message this morning to help somebody. Lord, I'm here to help. I'm not here to kick anybody down, stomp them. I'm here to help them. And maybe something I said in the message this morning reaches into the heartstrings, speaks to the soul. And they begin to realize that you're not against them, you're for them. And Christ went to the cross and he died for them. And you would have all men to be saved. And you tell us to cast our care upon you, for you care for us. You say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And you shall find rest to your soul. There are those in this house today who need rest, Lord. They need rest. They need peace. They need your comfort. They need the Word of God. They need the Spirit of the Lord. They need the Holy Ghost. In thy name I pray. Amen.